Welcome to 2010. Year that everybody has been waiting for. It's now here. Welcome to the media. I know they've been very quiet the last month or two on communication matters, but they are here in full force. Welcome to all of you as well. and then the various representatives of the operators and Telcom. I see a number of other people. Welcome to all of you. This year, I think, is going to be quite an important year. The committee was fortunate enough to have its strategy workshop a few days ago. And out of that, I think we've got quite an elaborate and a very intensive program before us. It's going to keep this committee, I think, very, very busy. But what we've done so far is just to prepare a program for the first quarter, and that's the first item on the agenda for us to approve the program for this quarter so that we're quite clear what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. There's quite a bit of legislation in front of us. There's the South African Post Office Bill, and then there's the Post Bank Bill. Until later in the year, we should be getting the Public Sector Broadcasting Bill, and possibly also an ICASA amendment bill. But we will get details from the minister when he appears before the committee. But I think certainly the two post office bills are in front of us, and it's on the program already. So there's quite a bit of legislative work to do, but also the oversight work is a core part of our responsibilities. The one difficulty that we have had in trying to plan this the program is that there's this Money Bills and Related Matters Act that has now been approved by Parliament, and the parliamentary leadership has decided to pilot that particular act this year and to start programming it into its own work, in Parliament's work. So as a result of that, we can only start with strategic plans and budget presentation after the fiscal framework has been debated and adopted by Parliament. And the works will help me. I'm told that is scheduled for the 2nd of March. So we cannot call any entity to appear before the committee to present its strategic plans and budgets before the 2nd of March. But then we've got to complete all these things by the end of March, because next month, in April then, are the budget votes. So it does, crimp the program. It becomes very, very congested the next 3 weeks in March, particularly the last 3 weeks in March. It becomes very, very difficult to manage. But we've got to squeeze in our case, 10 reporting agencies. So it's a very tight program, and I'm going to appeal to members to bear with us and to support the program. We don't have too much of room to maneuver around time frames and those kinds of things. I've also circulated a letter that has come from the Speaker's office. They will no longer be serving lunch, so we just have tea and snacks. And I don't know how we're going to manage. If we have this long marathon session that go on for the whole day, I'm hoping the works can help us and see whether there's going to be some flexibility. So to all the journalists, sorry, there's no free lunch anymore from this committee. And I thought it's best I just circulate the letter of the Speaker, and you can understand what the reasons are, whatever the case might be. Yeah, you must bring your own lunchbox, and then you can sit here quietly and have your snack, and we offer you tea and juice. That's all. I see we've got some biscuits, no? Okay, that's all. It says tea, biscuits, juice, and water. So that's all. There's quite a bit of documents that have been circulated. There's correspondence from Telcom. I've asked the committee secretary just to circularize it. It's on the item on the agenda. There's also, I think, two documents from our researcher, Mwavisa. One that deals with the procedures for appointment of ICASA, and one on interconnection rates. So that's for the benefit of members. Can I then open up for discussion on the program, the first quarter program? If we are comfortable, we can dispense with the item quickly and then hand over to ICASA. I think the draft program has been circulated. Do you want me to talk to it, or can I take it as read? Can I take it as read? It was circulated yesterday, am I right? Okay, so can I take it as read? Are we comfortable at any problem areas? Ms. Killian?
Chairperson, just the problem that we've raised with you before, and that is just that we're spilling over onto Wednesdays as well. And some of the parties have other committees on that specific day. So you will please understand that in some cases it will not be possible for parties to participate on 2 days, both the Tuesday and the Wednesday. I note that there are several Wednesdays scheduled and also Thursday, as far as I can remember, yes. Oversight visit to Chabot on Thursday, 25 February. So that complicates matters because obviously Thursdays are also caucus days. So just please bear in mind, and it's not for lack of interest, it's just practical reality that it's not always possible for us to split ourselves in different committees. Thank you.
No, the tense. I was going also to raise the issue of Wednesday, but I think we're coping very well. The matter has been raised already, so I will pass that one, Chair. But the other issue, Chair, is that is the starting time. That committee was supposed to start at 9, not at 10. We find ourselves congested. We can't engage on discussion because of starting at 10. Maybe it's one issue which we need to look at to go to the original time for committees. 10 o'clock is not the committee time to start. It's 9 o'clock. So that we can have more time to release members. We have said we are cutting costs parliament. People must go and look for their own lunch. What it means is if we go back to that 9, we can finish quarter to 1, so that people maybe have got an hour or so to go back at 2 to the house to do other business and so on. The second issue has been also raised by a COOP in relation to 25 February, that we do have a caucus on that particular day. So unless if we undertake that oversight afternoon. But for the morning party, there is caucus which we need to attend on that particular day and so on. But, Chair, no, those are the two issues, Chair, the issue of time and the issue of Thursday. The Wednesday one has already been covered, just to look the possibilities as far as possible. Not to tamper with Wednesday because we might be running things in terms of representation as parties.
Tembi, can you just report on this matter?
Thank you, Chair. Last thing, Chair, I've sent out like the application for the oversight visit to the Office of the House Chapter Finland. Unfortunately, that application was not approved, because during the week of the 23rd to the 27th, committees are expected to conduct their businesses within Parliament. They cannot go on an oversight visit during that week. So that is the current situation, Chair, regarding ESA.
All right, so permission has not been granted for that, so we'll have to delete that item altogether. And we take it, there will be caucus in the morning, so we do have an afternoon slot. We'll see what we can fit in. If it's possible. Otherwise, then we'll have a free afternoon. Okay, with that in mind, and the issue that has been raised by Mr. Kolwani about the starting times, we will revise that. But my only appeal then to the members is that if we start earlier for the committee meetings, let us then be present. And I don't like to start a meeting when there's hardly anybody here and the rest of the other participants and presenters are here. It doesn't look good for the committee or for Parliament if members are not then punctual. So I know there's a problem of the bus and transport. Let us be flexible. Let's see what arrangement we can make. But it's given that we cannot start at 10 o'clock, we're going to have to start a bit earlier. So with that as the amendment, we will then, can we adopt this program, and then the committee section will revise it and circulate it to members. Thank you very much. So this program has been approved. We will circulate the draft program for the second quarter also by next week, so that at least members know what's coming in the next quarter. Ikasa, Chairperson, Mr. Mashile, welcome to you and your team. You are fortunate you're the first entity reporting this year, so it's a privileged position. But I think there's an item that has been in the public interest. I know that there's been a lot of reporting and discussion even in communities about this matter. I've received many, many emails. I know Mr. Lill gets an email almost every hour on this matter, on interconnection rates. Every hour she gets an email from somebody out there about this issue. So it's a very hot topic, but I think it's important for the public. And if we can get the cost of mobile charges to come down, it will be the benefit of people throughout the country. So over to you. Welcome to you and your delegation, and we hand over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, honorable members. Greetings of the new season. I hope everything will go well this year, as we know that we'll be grappling with things of strategic importance relating to the ICT sector. We definitely mean well when we all are gathered together, having a common objective in this regard. And I think the other stakeholders, operators in particular, are towing in line, and that will be very, very helpful for the country. First, maybe we would like to make apologies for some of our Koteri members who could not make it. Karabo Motlana is out in Barcelona on this GSMA conference. Essentially, I should have been there, but I thought about it, and I said, I guess it's more important for me to be here. Fortunately, I'm being represented there as well, and so that's very, very helpful. Councillor Nkuna had previously arranged a meeting which had been scheduled many moons back. It's about the regulatory impact assessment to find out whether these regulations that we bring forth, are they just outputs without outcomes? We want to see the strategic importance and effect of the regulations that we have passed through to see whether they do actually result in achieving the objectives that we have set out. So with regret and pardon, Councillor Nkuna is out there with stakeholders from operators. And then, of course, Councillor Marcia Sutrikwa was not able to come because I guess she's not feeling well. That's the report that we've got. And then, of course, I guess with Councillor Ndombela also, she was not able to come because of certain circumstances beyond her control. But overall, I think we are fully represented here. And maybe I would just say, for the sake of maybe some of the people who are not known to all there, to self-introduce ourselves. Then and maybe you can just indicate and we go. Just introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Peter Curtis. I'm Senior Manager of Markets and Competition at ICASA.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Thabo Makgage, Councillor at ICASA.
Good morning, Chairman and Honorable Members. My name is Mbuso Patri, Councillor at ICASA. Thank you.
Good morning, William Stuckey, recently appointed a Councillor at ICASA.
Good morning, Kouvis van Rooyen, Councillor at ICASA.
Good morning, Fungai Sibanda, a member of Council.
Morning, Chubi Matlow, Communications.
Good morning, Sitlali Metsisekano, Chief Audit Executive.
Good morning, that's Thubane Musia, the CFO.
Good morning, Nobahle Shabalala, CEO's office.
And Lima Marahane, legal.
Good morning, Sipotete, acting CEO.
Good morning, Unathi Bangane, Office of the Chairperson.
I guess we'll just have to just delve into the issues that we've come here for. We would like to thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to come back to you, because in keeping with keeping you in the loop and making sure that there is an understanding that is brought across to all stakeholders, including the portfolio committee, to which we are accountable to, from time to time, have opportunities like these to brief them on things that are of strategic importance, like the ones that we're going to be dealing with today. I would have with me here, if you can just what we will be talking about today. It's really progress regarding the wholesale coal termination market review. This
without doubt is a very, very topical issue, and I think we will want to make you aware that we are on the ball and will certainly deliver as mandated. Then, of course, there is need for us to explain our rationale as to why we, at the first instance, decided to reject the interconnection agreement that we filed with us. And we'll give you rationalization as to, from a legal point of view, and what was presented and what our regulations say about submitting interconnection agreements. Now, the last but not important issue that has always been an issue of importance to us is really the question of relationship building between council and executive management. As you can see, we are all here, and then maybe when we reach that topic, we will be able to elaborate on you on the steps that we've taken in regard of having a common vision and understanding of how we should interact and relate with each other. Without much ado, I will then ask Councillor Makhake to lead us on a progress regarding wholesale termination market review.
Councillor, can I just take your indulgence? May I just take the opportunity of welcoming Mr. Ali Mazia. He's a new member of the ANC that has been sworn in. He was a former member of the Communications Committee, so he really knows what's happening. But at one stage when there was an oversight visit, there was a very tragic accident, I think, and Ali was seriously injured in that accident. So he's been away from Parliament on sick leave and for almost a year and a half. But he's back now, and he's determined to get back to this committee. I don't know where the works are going to deploy him, but he's here. He's expressing his keen interest in this committee. So welcome back to you, Ali. You can see that the committee has changed completely from the committee you remember. Dean Smuts is not here. You know her very well. In her place is Mr. Nicky van der Berg, a wonderful man, full of humor. You'll get to know him. Patricia, you know. And then Ms. Killian from COPE, also a new person in the committee. Reverend Musa Zondi from the IFP, you know him, but he's not here. And then who else? Oh, Lindiwe Mazibuku. She'll be coming in a bit late. And I think the ANC team, you know. So welcome, Ali. And Master, she's not here also, yes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of Parliament, ladies and gentlemen. When we were here in September, we actually informed members of Parliament that we are guided by Chapter 10, that is Section 67 of the ECA. We went at some length to indicate what the requirements are of that is of Chapter 10. Today, essentially, is simply to update Parliament as to what we've been doing since that time. So we probably will not go back and try to talk about or dissect Section 67. But we really wanted to remind Parliament that we have contracted a consulting firm, Mark MacDonald, to conduct research into the wholesale coal termination market. We have now received a very comprehensive report and are together with a consultant analyzing it with a view to utilize the information in the drafting of the regulations. In October last year, Honorable Chairperson, we issued a comprehensive questionnaire to some 485 licensees. The question was also published in the Government Gazette in an attempt to reach the balance of other licensees we might have missed. The object was to gather current information to enable us to measure the market. Okay. The object of the questionnaire, Chairperson, was to gather current information to enable ICASA to measure the market as it stood and establish who obtained services from whom. We will recall, Chair, that a number of licenses were converted following the Altec case, so we had quite a lot of licensees. So we needed to have an update information of who was there, what they were doing. Well, we knew who was there, but to find out exactly what they were doing, especially regarding their operational activities. This information would also assist the authorities in gaining further appreciation and understanding of the status of competition issues in the wholesale market. One of the important elements at that time was wholesale traffic. With so many more number of operators, and also, of course, the increase in the number of subscribers, one would expect that wholesale traffic would have increased. So we wanted to have an idea of what it looked like. The 49 responses, Chair, was a very good sample of the licensees, and in particular, represented nearly half of the just over 100 ECS licensees who were issued with numbers. These licensees are particularly important in terms of the wholesale call termination market. We are in the process, as I speak, of preparing draft regulations and a backup information paper on wholesale call termination. It will be very important for us to explain why we pass the regulations as they stand, to motivate as to why we are doing things and why we are not doing other things. The regulations themselves are not going to be very long, actually, but we'll back them up with a position paper to indicate why we are doing certain things. We plan to hold hearings in May 2010 in order to obtain inputs from the stakeholders and to give them an opportunity to be heard around this very important and fundamental question of competition. Thereafter, Chair, we intend to draft final regulations and publish them before the end of June. These regulations will address appropriate remedies in instances as Chapter 10 actually requires, in instances where there is market failure underpinned by significant market power that is in the wholesale call termination market. Chair, briefly, this is the position. As you can see from the slides, we have indicated the dates. I've mentioned them here, but I thought I should again bring the attention of members to the dates, and we are still firmly sticking to those dates. Release of draft regulations in March, public hearings in May 2010, and final regulations in June 2010. Thank you, sir.
Just to emphasize an important aspect as to why many people may ask, but it's because of the legal requirement that we must give them 30 working days in which to respond, and that would call for 6 calendar weeks. So that's why we have May there, because working days, it's Monday to Friday, take out holidays, and Saturday, Sunday. So that's why we have May there. I'm not sure whether questions would need to be asked at this point in time relating to this particular presentation, or we should just proceed with the next, because they are related, but in a way I think can be handled differently in terms of particularities of each and every aspect, and maybe while there is still an opportunity we could respond to some questions for clarification on the very presentation that we have made.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I just want to find out, are we just dealing now with the interconnection rate, or does it include the retail prices? Is the retail prices project, a separate part of the regulations that you're busy with?
Let me just check, do we want to get the second presentation and then have a discussion? Or do you want to now enter into discussion on this presentation? I'll be guided by you.
I've got a Chairperson, a feeling if we get another, maybe in the next presentation, there will be clarification, and otherwise we sort of duplicate. It will be good to ask questions now, but I think let's build a couple of layers in the wall and then... You see, it stands up.
Okay, sure. Can we get the second presentation? That's on the interim measure. Let's just call it the interim measure, and then we'll have one full discussion on the issues. Ms. Killian?
The interim measure.
Hold on.
I would support that. Although I had my hand up, I will keep it back and I will ask at the end of the presentation.
Let's get the second presentation.
I guess the second presentation is why we did what we did in terms of having rejected the initial finding for interconnection, just to give you the rationale, how we analyze things and how you come to conclusion. We break things into bits and pieces, find the interrelationship between bits and the relationship of each bit with the whole. Then we come to a conclusion after analysis, and I think this is what Apache will more or less elaborate on.
Good morning once again, Chairman, Honorable Members of Parliament. I'm going to take you through the reason why we rejected the filing by the three network operators, mobile network operators. We received this filing on 25th January, but before this time, we received a draft submission from MTN and Vodacom in December. And as the authority, we cannot consider things that are in draft. Licensees know how to file, and rightfully so, they filed on the 25th of January. The agreements that were filed had two clauses in them. Clause 5.1 and 5.2. I'll read out these clauses. These clauses actually require the authority to provide the parties with an irrevocable undertaking by 28 February 2010 that it shall not, during the period 1st 2010 to 1st March 2013, in any manner oblige the parties or cause them to be obliged to charge any other interconnect rate other than those outlined in Table 1, which is the reduction that was proposed. And then 5.2 says, should ICASA, notwithstanding that it gave the parties an undertaking as envisaged above in 5.1 during the period 1st March 2010 to 1st March 2013, in any manner oblige the parties or attempt to oblige the parties or cause them to be obliged to charge another interconnection rate other than those provided in Table 1, this agreement shall forthwith terminate and the parties shall revert to the interconnection rates that applied between them prior to entering into the agreement. So that those are the conditions that were put. Essentially, that up until March 2010, ICASA is not even supposed to be doing its Chapter 9 processes. We looked at the filings. We have the 2000 regulations in terms of our analysis of agreements. And nowhere in those regulations, nor in the Act, does it talk to anyone trying to fetter our discretion. So we couldn't even consider. So we couldn't even review the agreement itself because the agreement itself was actually illegal. And we just could not proceed in that basis. So that was our rationale for rejecting. And we responded. We know that most people at this time, when we found that the agreement was not proper and we could not review, even consider it, we responded to licensees who were not very popular in some quarters of the sector, but we could not make this decision. Fortunately, on the 9th of February, they did make a subsequent filing that did not have those provisions. So the authority at that point, we approved those filings. So we could not at any point as the authority approve the filings as they were on the 25th of January. And for reasons that we have outlined, that because they sought to impose obligations on us that we could never actually justify even in law. So for these reasons, we could not look at the agreement. We couldn't even review it. I thank you.
I think with that in mind, very clear that if we had actually given any consideration on those filings with those preconditions, we would certainly have fallen foul of the law. And therefore, we are defending the integrity of the organization in terms of its mandate and that it should do things in terms of what we are proscribed to do. So that in itself, I think we were, like anybody would say, Julius Caesar, we were as constant as another star. Whose truth fixes position, there's no failure in the firmament. So we were prepared to fall on our sword if it really did mean that we would not be subject to political pressure nor commercial pressure. And we stood firm on that and we should continue staying firm on that right through the tenure of this council. So I guess we are quite excited and happy that they have finally come to the table. And I think we must commend the minister for what maybe he succeeded in taking the horse to the river. Now we'll force it to drink, and we'll force it to drink. So that itself is very complimentary, and that's how we have to work. And I'm happy that they also saw light and reason, the operators, realized that, there's no other way except just to do the right thing. And we also like to thank them very much for really having had some sense to realize that this is untenable. And with that in mind, of course, we believe that, as Councillor Makage has indicated, come June, the true interconnection, which is scientifically determined, after having undertaken all the processes to safeguard against reviews, etc., and all that, will be what should apply. Thanks for the interim period that we are having this, and I would like to thank everybody, the operators as well as the minister, for really having assisted in this process. Thank you.
Chairperson, you know, you must thank me also. I supported you on this decision. Publicly. Publicly. You didn't know that. Because you are correct. You are correct in the decision that you took.
The portfolio committee, in particular all the members who called us and encouraged us, gave us support, etc., and we saw the righteousness of our position at that point in time. And that gave us a real kind of an oomph, where we felt that this time... They say that if you don't fall off the horse, you're not playing the game hard enough. So we've learned our lesson. That's really what it is. We played the game hard enough. We fell off our horses. And now we can ride smoothly through the horizon. Thanks.
No, I think you are right. I mean, even as Parliament, we had to get some legal advice on this matter. But as Parliament, we can't section something that is unlawful. And that's why we took the clear decision that we have to support ICASA, because it's the lawful thing to do, and also that we must respect the independence of the regulatory authority. We can't be seen to be willfully undermining it. So I think it was a correct decision, and we have no hesitation in reconfirming our support for you. I see we are starting on a very positive note. We say we took the horse to the water, not the donkey. So, all right, it's open for questions, comments, Ms. Killian, Mr. van der Werk.
I do believe that this was a positive process. I was actually waiting for some credit to come to the committee as well, but since we've assumed it ourselves, I think it's a matter of record that we actually engaged this process, that we fully understood the role that we had to fulfill, that we could not interfere, but we just wanted to to jumpstart a specific process to put some light on some of the issues that affect the call rates for ordinary South Africans. And interconnect is one of those elements. There are some other pillars. Now, I would like to just ask ICASA, how do they see opening up the market? You have started with your Chapter 10 process. What are the other elements that you believe will require critical regulations, and by when? Because the focus is largely at this stage on interconnect, but that is not the only issue. There are some other pillars that are having a major impact on call rates for ordinary South Africans, and that is what we need to address. Also, other issues such as, you know, accessibility to internet, etc., opening up the lines of communication. The second issue that I wanted to ask was, if we look at your presentation, it is understandable that you have to apply yourself to the regulations and the timeframes, etc. That makes good sense, because I think in this process you had the backup from the committee, because we realized that you were actually doing the right thing all along. And although you were accused at a particular point, South Africans expected that you would endorse something that would have been very popular in the public eye. You stood firm, saying that that was not acceptable, to actually bind your hands behind your back to ensure that all the other processes that will open up the market for more companies to join in, which ultimately will ensure competition. That is what it is that we must do. So I think that was my comment as far as that is concerned. My only other outstanding issue was, can you please indicate to us, as you saw the agreement that you received, was there any misunderstanding when the different companies met with the minister, or did they agree to this very firm condition that you should not be allowed to interfere in their activities for the rest of the three-year period? Was that part of the agreement that was reached with the minister, and did you have to just inform them that that was the part of the agreement that you couldn't support? How was that, in fact, communicated to you? Because there was uncertainty as to the details of the agreement that was reached with the minister when he was leading this horse to the water. Can you please just give us that information? From what we can understand was that was part of the original so-called agreement, or was it amended after the meeting or the interaction that they had with the minister? Thank you.
You would like to respond to those questions, and I think we'll add on if there are insufficient detail.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Wonderful, Chairperson. I would like to have the first bite at responding to the very first question from Honorable DeLille. This is regarding the retail situation, retail pricing. We, ICASA, is very seized with this problem of retail, what we call the pass-through from wholesale to retail. But we thought that we should focus initially on the wholesale call termination rates. And we have noticed that globally, usually, the operators themselves will take it upon themselves to pass through the reductions right through to retail. And I noticed, I had at length at a letter which Telkom has been circulating just now, Chair, and I noticed that they have already undertaken, even at this point in time, to pass through the reductions that they will enjoy from the other operators. So that is very good. So we expect that to happen. But we are not sitting on our laurels expecting that the operators will simply automatically do that. That's right. And we could have formed a parallel committee structure. Council has got works through committee structure. But we recognize that there's a value chain, there's a relationship between the two. You've got to tackle the wholesale
aspect, and then expect that to be passed through, if I may repeat that. If it doesn't, then you have to kick into action. And immediately we are through with the draft regulations on wholesale call termination, we will be watching very closely for a very short space of time to see whether indeed there is pass-through, one, and whether that pass-through is adequate, is reasonable. So I think at this point maybe one should respond in this fashion as far as the question is concerned.
Just to add on, normally when you have a retailer, it has inherent in it wholesale. Because you buy something at wholesale, you're going to add some markup, etc., to sell to the end user. If the interconnection rate goes up, clearly the consumer will have to pay higher. So I think automatically it stands to reason that if it goes down, it must. But somehow, because it's an opportunity for making profit, not much of that is passed through to the consumer. And we are excited about Telkom's filing that they would, but failing which, we'll go into the retail market and examine the retail market and go through the whole process of Chapter 10 and find out the nature of competition there. It's not effective. We'll come back again with the same model that we've applied on interconnection. The other question is the opening of the market. What are other elements that need to be considered apart from interconnection? I'll just start off, maybe there are other notions there. The question is, there are other elements within which competition can be sort of generated. Local loop and bundling is one of them, where you would then have other operators hooking up into the last mile and providing services and maybe renting from Telkom that particular network, as well as facilities leasing. Those are things that we still have, I think, in the back burner, which I certainly believe in this coming financial year we are going to deal with. That is just talking some of the little things that we think will happen. Important enough is this whole opening of fiber. You heard about the Easy Cable, the Seacom, etc., Infraco, etc. Because there's competition in that area, as opposed to before when Telkom held a monopoly, then people can jump about and say, well, you're too expensive and you're cheaper. So that competition is the one that we think serves better to bring prices down, rather than a regulator. A regulator is only a proxy for competition. Where there is no competition, then the regulator steps in. But to an extent that the competition is not effective, the regulator will then move in. So we're looking with excitement about the rollout of fiber. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening currently, and we hope that will translate to lower cost as a result of competition, where people will now have a choice. So we must give credit to all the entrepreneurs, operators that have seen fit to really come on board as a result of us going into the element of liberalization. I think we have reached a stage where, for one to talk about managed liberalization in terms of the ECA, is really missing an understanding. With ITEC having come up with that case that has helped us open up, there is no more an issue about managing liberalization. I think that's really where we have got to go. Everybody should do whatever that person pleases to do, step into the market. If they can succeed, step out and they'll come back later. That is really what would be called a liberalized market. So we are hoping that with that in mind, things will shape up where competition is the key issue that will help regenerate the market and make sure that consumers at the end of the day benefit. I think also we certainly have got to get to look at where the ECA itself could be amended. After having had the experience that we've gone through in terms of where things are not working, the effect of regulation should be not output, but outcome. What is the outcome? What is the strategic outcome?
number portability. What is the outcome of number portability? It's an output, but has it really kicked in? Then we have to revisit that and find out precisely what is it that makes people not to port their numbers, etc., and address that. Because in itself, in terms of experience in other countries, it really is a key success factor in that particular respect. So I think from time to time, we certainly will make our input on the ECA as to where we would like things to be, where we believe there are bottlenecks or so on. Okay. I think... the minister's understanding. Well, when we got this, I think we were all in Parliament and we were very excited about the fact that the minister indicated that the operators will reduce their costs to 89 and 77 cents. And that was my understanding. There was nothing that I could consider of some kind of precondition that this has got to be submitted on condition that the regulator will have just to more or less abandon the process. We were actually of the opinion that we will continue. This will be in the meantime. Yeah, that's our understanding. And when they filed, there was no agreement from the minister with what the operators filed. They just submitted their filing in terms of their agreement among themselves. So I think that's how we looked at it.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to congratulate ICASA on this move. But I was thinking, I believe they're going to change their name now from ICASA to the Horse Whisperers, because they can do wonderful things. But maybe you must teach the other parastatals also how to bring the horse to the water and actually make him drink. You know, it's wonderful. And I saw this advertisement in the papers this morning. Boswell and Wilkie Circus, they need a horse trainer, if you are interested. I just want to, you know, I was thinking when I saw this whole thing about the pressure from MTN sort of trying to force ICASA into a corner. I thought to myself, maybe this is a sort of strategic move from the cell phone operators. Don't you think they try to put up some heat on ICASA because there is the perception that ICASA is a bit slow over the years, and they forced you to take... I hope I don't sound rude against you, but that's the perceptions going around. But I'm also glad with this decision you took, ICASA, I think, showed for the first time in many years that ICASA is an organization, a parastatal with teeth. And I want to urge you to go through with the stance you taking now. Because the eyes of the public, we went through the recession, we heard it in Parliament, how many times yesterday, speaker after speaker referred to recession, job losses, the people in this country are in, some of them are in big trouble. And they are looking up to ICASA as a sort of a savior to bring down costs. And you've got the power. ICASA's got the power. No one else. You've got the law on your side. And I think there's consensus in this committee that we must fight very, very hard for the consumer in South Africa. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'd like to just add on to say that there has been concern that the operators are going to lose. The figures have been bandied about that 200 million is going to be lost. But I'd like to indicate on the obvious side that if they operate efficiently in terms of whatever they are doing, operationally, etc., there's no need to cry foul on the fact that ICASA would be responsible for destruction of jobs, etc. They still have gained a lot. The 3G spectrum that they have got all over the world, that spectrum was auctioned. In the case of South Africa, that spectrum was given to them without an auction.
they were subjected to social obligation that we still are working out with them to fulfill. So they've saved a lot in that particular. Even the license fee has been reduced. We have regulations that indicate that. So this whole thing of a loss of $300 million, they must consider the gain of less license fees, as well as the fact that they have not paid for that very, very, very important asset, which belongs to the public, which belongs to all the people of South Africa, and that inspector. So I can argue against the fact that they will not suffer any reverses or damages. We are quite conscious of the fact that jobs are going to be created, the economy should be sustained, but not at the expense of the ordinary poor consumer. I might also add that even though 89-77 is filed, there is now the differential between off-net and on-net. Most people use off-net, the majority of people, and there has not been a relief in that regard. But it's okay, you know, we'll get things right. There's not been a relief for the people who are calling after hours, off-peak. It's only, you know, people have got corporate phones, you know, cell phones, etc., and the corporate world that has, that will definitely benefit the 20% of the population, to be very, very honest. So maybe it will help one day we come to a uniform rate, because the differentials are narrowing. Maybe there will just be a uniform rate, daytime and nighttime and off-peak and peak. It is very interesting that the peak time is when few people call because it's expensive. The off-peak time is when a lot of people call because it is cheap. So now the roles are reversed. Peak is off-peak and off-peak is peak in terms of traffic. And I think that that's also something that needs to be.
Company sort of put some pressure on the cars. Is the chairperson going to answer that?
Well, I guess they were hedging their bets. There's no doubt about that. Knowing that maybe we are laggards, very slow, and say, now these guys won't make it. June, no, no, no. They better latch onto this, otherwise they will be dead in the water. But we're firm and determined. As I said, like the Northern Star. Of whose true fixed value there's no fellow in the firmament.
Is this a new look, ICASA? Operators, is a new look, ICASA? No.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me also compliment ICASA for the rejection. At least for once, they did the right thing. At the interest of the consumers. As the regulator, they stem their authority. But I also want to know, Chairperson, how much will this interconnection agreement affect or benefit the consumers? In simple terms, that they will understand. And Honorable Chair, on this one, I'm not trying to be negative, but I will want just to understand that since 2007, this process has been hangover, going this, going that. I just want ICASA to assure us that at least this time around, come June, there will be no other explanation. It will be just implementation. How do we trust that by June you will be able to implement? There will be no legal threats. There will be life after the channel. Lastly, just for interest sake, Chair, what happened to the moral preservation? Maybe you just have to know what happened to it. Because last time when you were here, you were eager about this situation. What happened to it? Thank you, Chair.
Let me answer the last question, because we essentially felt that it was going to take a little bit of a while before ICASA comes up with the true value of interconnection. And we wanted the interim process of trying to cajole the operators to come to the table and say, well, in the meantime, while we are waiting for you guys to come on, this is what we can proffer. We reached an impasse, let me put it that way.
we could not go any further than what they were more or less. I don't want to say they were intransigent, but it was very, very clear. It was, you know, it's not up to us, it's up to you, you know, and the moral situation is a question of we will if we want to, but we cannot be forced. So we'll give you what we think we will, but under the circumstances in terms of the legal process, etc., we are under no pressure, so we leave everything. So what they made as an offer was really not something that we felt could be helpful, especially when we bandied around figures of 40 cents, 60 cents, and all kinds of things. What they came up with was really not something that we could even factor into. And then we decided maybe let's abandon the moral situation, because they were also concerned that this is too political and this is not the arena that ICASA should be involved in. There's a lot of politics. And thanks to Mr. Vadi, who also insisted that we must, you know, get out of the space and concentrate on the regulatory process as we are empowered in terms of the Act. And we stepped out of line, and as I say, thanks to the minister, stepped into that situation and managed to rescue what we probably could not have achieved. So from that point in time, it could be said that the minister succeeded in moral situation where we failed. We could not go any further, and we didn't want to compromise ourselves. So then, of course, as you can say today, water is really under the bridge, because finally they have come to the table. Ours failed, to be honest, and we reached an impasse at that point. It was taken over by the minister, and in a complementary measure, a fashion, when the people came with it, when the operators came with their finding, we examined them, looked at them in terms of our regulation, etc., and we played our role as to what is it that we can accept, etc. So all of these things were complementary. In final analysis, we achieved the same objective.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The Honourable Member wanted to know what effect the current interconnect agreement will have on the consumers, if I got the question well. This question is actually related to what we talked about earlier, you know, in regard to the question that was raised by Honourable Delis, that as to whether wholesale, the reduction in wholesale call termination will have a positive impact on retail. And the response, if I may quickly just repeat it, is that one expects that operators will pass that benefit through to the retailers. But there's no guarantee that they will do that. As a result, regulators are bound to watch very closely what action they take. I even made an example with what we saw just this morning from Telkom, where they have already indicated that they would pass the benefit through to the consumers. Now, on the issue of come June and the draft regulations will be published, I have to indicate, honourable members, that in any project there are risks. So what is important is to try as hard as possible to mitigate those risks. Within ICASA, we have identified some of those. And the idea, of course, is to try and concentrate some of the little resources we have to towards this project to mitigate the risks of failure because we did not have adequate resources. So we are doing all the best we can to ensure that we meet this deadline.
Now, certainly, from interfacing with the committee members on this, they have given an assurance that this date will be met. I think it will be as a result of an act of God that we don't succeed by June. And failing which, I guess we'll have to fall on our sword.
But, Mr. Oshile, after June, you might not be there to fall on the sword. I'm worried about this.
Anyway, even after I'm gone, so I really have got to make sure that there is a signing off in June on this project.
Mr. Gatti. Are you passing? Patricia?
Chairperson, just to follow up on the response of the retail pricing, the reason why I raised this question was, if you look at the research that was done by the Department of Communications, where you could see that especially, you know, the pay-as-you-go, it's exactly the same by the three operators. And, you know, we can speculate there's possible collusion. The Competition Commission is busy to investigate that. And, you know, also the difference between contract and rate and pay-as-you-go, which is mostly the poor people. I have to advise on this one. I think here you have to take the horse to the water. You cannot rely with the experience that you've just gone through now that this will just come be delivered on a plate. And I would really seek that ICASA start that process too. We should have actually done it both of them at the same time, but I am not certain that it's just going to come, you know, easily from the operators. Now, we're talking about the end of March that this will come into effect. Will there be any monitoring on ICASA's side to make sure that it's actually done? Will you look at the billing system to make sure that some of the benefit has been passed on to the consumer? How will this be monitored? Then the last point, I think the chairperson mentioned that some of the operators are here. We must take this opportunity to express our disappointment with the operators. I'm certain that the legal departments should have advised them that what they were trying to do is illegal. Advise them about the principle that we are all equal before the law. We live in a country where we respect the rule of law and that nobody is above the law. Because that condition which came in afterwards to bind ICASA for until 2030 was a really, I think, games they were playing. I'm sure with all the legal resources that they have, somebody should have advised them. But it's legally wrong what you are doing. And if you look at that clause 5, it is such strong words, irrevocable undertaking. And that the operators must now also, you know, make sure that in the engagement with us as members of parliament, and also the engagement with ICASA, that we expect at least some honesty and some candidness, that, you know, people should not later on go and try and sneak in conditions. The chairperson raised the issue about the 3G license. Yes, I asked a question to the operators the last time, did you comply with your 3G license obligations? And they all said yes on record to this committee. I immediately asked a question to the minister in parliament, and no, they have not complied with the 3G license conditions. So please, you know, we must begin to learn to respect the different institutions, and especially parliament. You know, we're only trying to do our job and do oversight here, and not out to nail anybody. So I hope that the operators take note that, you know, they have to change their attitude. Moral suasion change into complete arrogance. And that is not good for the industry, it's not good for our country. Thank you.
Honourable Member, I think you have actually hit the head on the nail on the head with regard to pay as you pay as you go. I think that's an area that really needs to be looked into. And the costs are quite high.
the price that the poorest of the poor paying is completely out of this world. It's astronomical. And the question that arises is always people compare, why do contractors have this kind of, those who have contracts have this kind of a benefit, they pay so much per minute, and these who do not even have any means have to pay that much. The operators have often argued that this is not guaranteed money, these people, and I'm not buying that, I'm just indicating their rationale on this matter. And also argue that, no, besides we do have community service telephone. That is a social obligation, which has to be seen very, very separate from commercial activities. Now, with regard to commercial activities, actually, CSTs are very different. It's a different market altogether. You know, it's, you can't move around. You have to be stationary somewhere in this container. Speak. You can't move, although the technology is a mobile technology. But certainly it doesn't allow you to move around. So they cannot be compared to the same kind of market as a result of that. And I think this is an area in which we have got to delve in terms of Chapter 10, and find out what we have to do in order to make it competitive. And by competitive means the effectiveness of the prices coming down. And in that particular respect, I guess that's one of the projects that certainly should not escape our attention. We certainly have to consider that.
I'm sure, Chair, I'll be also be appreciating the work of ICAS out of this issue of endorsement, rejection and endorsement of the parties or operators agreement. But as much as I appreciate that work, my only problem is that my heart is bleeding, because this agreement continues to perpetuate and entrench that those who are privileged must continue to benefit at the expense of the poor, because the poor are not benefiting out of this agreement. This reduction happens during working hours or office hours. It means those who are running businesses out of cell phone are going to pocket more than those after work who are supposed to communicate. So the cost of communication to the poor still remains the same. There is no reduction. I'm sure the chairperson of ICASA has put it well to say this has been just vice versa, that the other becomes off-peak, the other one becomes the other thing. But I appreciate the work done by ICASA, but I'm sure that is how the agreement was structured by the operators. But I must raise that, because of the African National Congress were voted by the majority, which are the poor. We should be safeguarding their interest in whatever we're doing and so on. I might not know whether ICASA didn't have an opportunity when that agreement comes to them to influence it one way or another to look into. But I hope if they had that possibilities, they should have done so. I'll assume that they didn't have any power to look into that matter. That is one issue, Chair, but I appreciate the reduction, Chair, generally. But for the poor, status quo remain. They'll be at the mercy of the restructuring of packages by the operators, not necessarily any impact by this reduction. The other issue, Chair, is that whilst I appreciate that the process is still possible, is going to be finalized around the June. But before I step out of that, Chair, there was a matter raised by Telkom at one point in terms of these services which is provided most in the townships. We have got this container. I'm sure it's your CST, if I'm not mistaken, where the operators among themselves, they charge less, but for Telkom it's expensive. I'm not sure how far this agreement will go into that, whether it will have any impact in terms of those CSTs, because that's where the majority of the poor are. And there was a clear indication that the operators among themselves, they pay less or they charge less among themselves. But Telkom, if you have to phone, then you have to have a paying high. But if that's not even going to have impact in terms of that, then I will be saying maybe you also have to move very fast in terms of the regulation of the retail part, but taking an understanding that we have focused on the interconnection. But say the issues I wanted to raise is that out of the process which has been outlined, there's been other voices. I just want to be assured by ICAS, because there are other voices which have started to say it's a mountain to climb to be ready in June in terms of what you're trying to do. In particular, they are raising the matter that if you look in terms of Chapter 10, the processes which you need to follow, you might not be able to do so within the short space of time. I'm just raising that because I thought you'll go into some details in terms of what exactly you are doing and so on, but you did and so on. Now, because they have believed that this process, which of Chapter 10, was partially started during the Telecommunications Act, partially. Quite a number of issues were not considered there. We called your secondary market or the two tie-sided markets. Now, and these issues are important so that you don't have distortion in terms of the market. And based on that, you will seem to have a challenge around that particular matter. I don't have a doubt as a person that you are going to meet your deadline, but I'm raising this issue because it's starting to come up so that you are able to explain what is your view around those particular matters and so on. The other issues around the issue of section, I'm sure it's 36 and 43, if I'm not mistaken, of the ECA, which wants you to follow certain steps, and 37 and 43, in terms of determining the appropriate pro-competitiveness measures to correct the market failure and so on. There is an indication that you might not have complied with this section at all. I want to hear your views. I don't know. I'm not part of you. But I'm just raising this matter so that we start to dissect what we are doing, not generally talk about it without going in a little bit of detail. I don't know you will assist because if these issues is true that are not being looked at, it might have the possibility of risk if you're talking about that later you might be challenged. Now, there are quite a number of issues which are raised, but I'm trying to raise those issues so that you can just be able just to explain a little bit what exactly is happening so that there are no surprises. You see, what the president has talked about, the output agreement with the ministers and so on, you must remember that your output agreement you made public in this committee when you said by June you'll be well done on this thing. So we don't need any other measure. The public will measure you in terms when June comes and so on. So I just want to ask on those issues because they've been raised, how far are you and so on, so that you can be able to have a sleepless night that comes June, everything is okay. Chairperson, those are the issues which I just wanted to raise so that I can be assured that the process are on board, we're on course, come soon. I know that we cannot avoid the legal challenges, but those legal challenges must come as other results, not results as your processes and the other things. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll just tackle the one issue. There are many issues which the Honourable Member has raised, but I know that one of the concerns that were raised by operators when the whole process started was the issue of guidelines. How, ICASA, are you going to handle this process? What are the steps? can you give us some certainty as to what you expect to do? So, Chair, I'm happy to announce that we have a draft guidelines as I speak, and the idea is to publish hopefully by the end of this very month or early March. I think I just wanted to mention that because I know it's one of the big issues that have been raised even before I became a councillor. It was one of the issues that operators raised. So I hope it's going to go a long way towards addressing some of the possible challenges that we might face.
In as far as this matter is concerned, we really tried to live up to the book, sort of hymnal in a way, chapter 10, in terms of every step should be looked at in terms of what the requirements are. So it's a question of procedures and processes. The process is the linking of procedures. So we have this procedure, which is an input to another procedure, and the link is a process. And therefore, we have taken, you know, from 64 and all that, we have to come up with regulation, we've got to look at the methodology of determining how competitive the market is. And let me add on, the work that was done previously in terms of the Telecoms Act forms a foundation and a basis for what we are doing right now. The findings document that we had then are very, very helpful in terms of having formed a foundation. We have examined all the markets, we have looked at the interconnection markets, and we have compared other sort of markets that could more or less be approximating that. And we used some methodology, which is about, small but significant increase in price. What that does, would the competitors then reduce the price because there is competition somewhere from maybe SIM swapping or VoIP, or any other kind of market? We have determined that that market is not affected at all. There is no alternative to making sure that those people become competitive. They can exponentially increase the price without any way in which the consumer demand side can say, you know what, we're sick and tired, we'll go to another way. Because if I want to call you and I'm MTN or Vodacom, there is no other way except to go through the Vodacom network, and that's where the interconnection is. I can't bypass that. So that in itself has clearly indicated that this market is solely and all by itself unique and different from other markets. And if you can tell, interconnection is not competitive because they all operators agree on what the charge fee is. There's no one who would say, you are charging 50 cents, I'll charge 1 rand. They have to have if you were to talk about legitimate collusion, that's what it is. Legal collusion, because they've got to come among themselves and agree that this is what we agree on interconnection. There is no competition. No one will come and say, no, I'll come with a lower interconnection, because that will be ridiculous, because you'll pay more and the other party will take up whatever you can get in market share. There is also what is known as cross elasticity. When you are a small market player and then you have now a big market player like Vodacom and MTN, because their retail business is such that they can offer you freebies, etc., and that's where the majority of the people are, you as a consumer would look at where you are and say, no, I think I'm better off in that larger market because there are freebies of cell phones, etc., and also the majority of the people that I want to call are in there, whereas then that means you will move into that. So that in itself is also an issue that we certainly have got to deal with interconnection, that it is not competitive. It's just an agreement amongst operators as to continuously increasing the price itself, and therefore the regulator must come in and say, no, you can't do this. And therefore, cost-based pricing or cost-oriented pricing will be the way to go in that particular grant. And I think that is really what will be looked at in terms of those significant market players who have got to be looked into in terms of reducing the cost by looking at cost-oriented pricing. So I have a feeling that we did what we could under the circumstances. But as you well know, someone can just throw a spanner in the works. For all that it is worth, it will take 2 years. But we will do what we have conceived in terms of our process to be the right thing.
and it's for the whole world to see whether we could afford that in whatever we will be challenged on. I think it will come out in the surface as to what the name of the game is at that point in time.
Now, can I just say something? I mean, I'm going to give Mr. Daranga a chance just now. You see, if I look at your presentation, all you say is that you're going to release draft regulations in March. Okay? You say you're going to hold public hearings in May, and you say you'll have the regulations ready. Well, that's really nothing. I mean, it just says that you're going to have the regulations ready. Now, I'm trying to match what you are saying with what is set out in Section 67.4. Okay? Now, let me read out that. 67.4A says you must do something. Okay, you must do it. It define and identify the market. The draft regulations, is that what it's intended to do? I'm trying to match. Okay, because I want you to explain that to me. 67.4B says that you must determine the effectiveness of competition in a defined market using methodology disclosed openly. Now, is the methodology going to be captured in this draft regulations? Okay? Then you must determine the appropriate pro-competitive measures that you want to institute if there is a market failure. Are the regulations going to be doing that? Okay? Then 67.4D says you must declare licenses to have significant market power. Are you doing that in March? Okay? Can you tell me just now? I just want to understand that every step, because if you miss the step, you can be sure that you're going to be challenged. So I want you to spell out for me what the steps are, so that I understand it, or at least the committee understands it. Then 67.4D says you must declare pro-competitive measures that will be imposed on each licensee. I suppose that's your final decision. Okay? Then you must set out a schedule for the revision of markets. I don't know if that comes afterwards. After June, I don't know. You must explain that to me. Okay? And then you must monitor and investigate anti-competitive, I suppose that is after the actual passing of the regulations. Now, from what you have presented to the committee, I can't see the correlation between this in 67.4 and what you say. You just say you will have regulations. Okay, can that be unpacked for us?
All right. I think that will be the...
Mr. Daranga, you...
Okay. I will ask Councillor Mahage to repeat what we had made as a presentation some time back to the portfolio committee as to the steps that we will be undertaking. And they will speak to some of the questions that you had asked. Over to you, Councillor Mahage.
Thank you, Chair. We felt relatively comfortable when we heard, because we know we're playing big players at this stage. The mere fact that they came up with a type of agreement that they wanted you to endorse tells you that there's mega bucks at stake. And I agree with some of the members of the portfolio committee and the chairperson in particular that we must understand that people don't and business don't just simply let go of profit. They will cling on to it for as long as possible. So the steps and the process is critical. Can you please just assure us that in addition to those people who are assisting with Section 67, that you also have very clued up, knowledgeable legal advisors? Because this is an issue. If you live by the sword, they will try to make you die by the sword. And we've had a good stance for ICASA, where they've really demonstrated their independence now. Now, for the rest of the process to unfold, it's going to be critical that they must know you have the best brains possible to challenge every bit of the challenge that they might bring to you and succeed. So I think I just wanted to make sure that what the chairperson is asking is important for us to know, because we cannot really let down South Africans on this issue any longer. we must know that we will succeed. Thank you.
I agree with the sentiments that you're expressing, together with the chairperson's concern. Clearly, business is nothing else but warfare. It's all about money, and there's a term in Botswana, money is called blood in Botswana, madi. So it's all about the question of strategy, and that's a military term. Tactics, it's a military term, and it's used in business. Yeah, it's very interesting that the juristic person is more important than the individual human being. You know, that nondescript animal. So private power is more powerful than political power, if I were to put it that way. But let Councillor Makhange take you through to assuage you and make you aware that all the processes that the chairperson has alluded to as concerns that need to be looked at as to whether we have looked into those, I think you might as well just indicate that we have undertaken.
Well, Chair, I'm not so sure whether I have the capacity, the chairman's capacity to assuage honourable members, but when I started the presentation, I indicated to Parliament that we were here in September, and our presentation in September was quite elaborate in terms of unpacking Chapter 10, the Chapter 10 process. Exactly addressing the issues that the Honourable Chair has raised. For example, I won't go through the presentation again. I'll just look at just the issues that were raised regarding the Chapter 10 process. The slide read, the ECA requires the authority to draft evidence-based regulations that define the relevant market, evaluate the effectiveness of competition, declare whether specific licensees have significant market power, and then develop the remedies to correct any market power failure. And I think Section 67.6, if I'm not correct, it actually tells us, it gives us the options of the remedies that we can apply. So we are very mindful of the need to be very, very circumspect in handling the whole process. We are also aware that litigation is the game of the operators. I do not recall a regulation that we pass, maybe 5 out of 10 regulations that we pass that are not challenged. We win some, we lose some. But this is one of the most important processes where we want to really do the best we can. I mentioned during the presentation that one of the risks was the issue of the legal vetting and making sure that this process is tight, as tight as possible. I also mentioned that within ICASA, the idea is to try and concentrate resources that we have on this project, even if it means, you know, delaying some of the projects and actually focusing on this. If our legal department wishes to go out and seek outside legal support, I'm sure that Council and the CEO will support this. Thank you.
Let me just add on to say that through the support that we have from our advisors in this respect of interconnection, Maud McDonald, all of these issues of defining the market, the relevant market has been defined. We have documentation in that regard. Evaluate the effectiveness of competition. We have done that. Declare whether specific licensees have significant market power. That has been done. And we certainly are developing the remedies to correct any market power. So those steps have been taken into consideration. And there is a whole veil of documentation to look at each and every one of these steps. So we have not missed. We are not just coming to say, no, we are doing regulations, etc. We have followed to the letter what this. You know, we have taken it as a hymnal, you know, some 10 commandments or something like that, to say, follow each and every step. It's thou shalt not, thou shalt, and all that. Maybe we'll break the 11th commandment, which say, break them all and make sure you are not caught. That's the 11th commandment.
Did I Mr. Chairman, I too, Chair, like more the new assertive and confident ICASA. I'm happy to see that you found your statutory backbone. It's very useful. But I see you also, as you become more confident, you become more diplomatic. Because I see you would not say that the telephone operators, the cell operators, were intransigent. You wouldn't want to go that far. Well, I, like Mr. Lowe, would want to go much further than that. And I think you should also. They're not only intransigent. They are dishonest and they are greedy. If you look at that agreement, when I saw that agreement, I said immediately to the chair, no, man, this is a joke. This can't. No one in their right mind, with half a brain, will ever in their life want to go and try and get an agreement with a statutory body to remove them from performing their duty. I said, it can't be. It's not true. It must be wrong. This must be a draft agreement. So I think we must call a spade a spade. We mustn't pussyfoot around this thing. You know, if people with so much power and so much money and so much influence as these cell operators want to behave so dishonestly and so reprehensibly as wanting to get agreements with a statutory body to stop them from doing their duties which the law has given them, then we must call a spade a spade. It is unforgivable. And like Ms. DeLow, I tell you what, if those, and I hope it's soon, we call those cellular bodies here, they will hear from this committee, and I know everyone feels like that in this committee, that it is a shame. And I think that the newspapers have done us a disservice not to go and look at that agreement properly and give it the necessary opprobrium that it should be given. It is disgusting, to say the absolute least. And then to try and suggest that somehow the minister had somehow agreed to this and someone else had also. It is just completely reprehensible. I have never in my life encountered something as despicable in terms of legal procedures and so on. Never. And here you have people who have lawyers who get paid at least a few thousand rand an hour. It's not that they don't have. They have those lawyers. And clearly those lawyers must have colluded in this process. It cannot be otherwise. I mean, the CEO of the cellular network is not going to drop that agreement themselves. It's clearly through those. And we need to look at those things. We need to actually see whether we even want to raise this thing with the Bar Council and with the law associations, that kind of legal advice can be given to people in these circumstances. So I really think, I understand why you're diplomatic. You have to work with these people later, but I don't have to be diplomatic. And I know I speak for you, Chairperson, when I say these things.
You're speaking for parents or for me?
Both of you. And it's also good to see that you've gone into Roman antiquity to find support for what you're saying. It's very useful. But I actually wanted to take up the point of the chair. It's now been dealt with somewhat, and Mr. Kawani. You see, I have full faith in you. You approved. You found your statutory backbone. So I'm happy. But I do think, Chair, as you have said, it would be important that we receive documents from ICASA setting out their programs. The steps they're going to take to achieve whatever they have to achieve. So, take interconnection fees. You've pointed it out. I had the same problem. I think what you should be doing is setting up a document for us to say, section so-and-so says we must do this. In the column, we regulations 5, 6, and 7, etc. And we go through it, that we have a framework. Because when we get the framework, you can be sure we'll be looking at it and lawyers will be looking at it. And we can immediately see something has been missed and we're all on board on the processes. So that's the first one. But I do suggest we need to go further. A lot of people have raised other things you should be doing, whether it's the prepaid, whether it's the wholesale, whether it's the retail. Now, I, for one, and I know the committee, will definitely not hold you firmly to a program that you set out there, as long as it's generally complied with. But I think it will be useful if in each of those areas you also give us a program. On retail, saying, what we intend to do is this. We intend to do it by this date. to get there, the law expects us to do this, 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 and we will, by October this time, we'll do the regulations, we'll do the, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what that does, it starts getting us to develop a program that we can hold you to account, but also you yourself know how you work towards it and how you prioritize. And if there are then problems in the process, then you always can come back to the chairperson and say, look, we're emphasizing retail, so we're not going to make the deadlines on whatever, wholesale. And we are pushing those 2 months further or whatever. So I would suggest that, Chair, that we work much more systematically and concretely. Also, I must say to you, legally, that is going to have huge kudos if anyone wants to challenge this process. Because you've then got it on paper, you've got an open process, everyone can see, the courts can see, everyone can see you have tried to follow those legal. So those will be my proposals. That firstly, we do it as the Chair suggested with interconnection, and then say within a month or so, if that's possible, to start giving us the programs with the others in that kind of detail. And as I say, don't be scared to put deadlines to us. I mean, if you tell us it's June this year and you get in July or September, we're not going to hold you, you know, as if by the Bible, the 11th commandment, to those things. We really want to actually start helping and creating a framework in which you do your work and which we do. So if the committee agrees with that, I would propose it. The second thing is, you know, you've explained so nicely now what your legal way of dealing with things, and that there's a certain space that you had to relinquish because clearly you would get into trouble doing it. And that is like sitting together with people that collude in monopolistic practices and then be party to it. Clearly you cannot do that. And that what worries me, that last sentence of yours, the authority has accordingly approved the agreement. You know, if I would give you legal advice, I would never have said you must approve it. You would note it, you would encourage it, and so on. But if you're busy with your own process of completing Chapter 10, I wouldn't go around approving agreements, and particularly ones that you usually can't trust. It can compromise you quite badly if you do this. And I would have suggested you use softer words of noting and encouraging and so on, just to make sure that that space you have is your space. It's not a space that others can come in with agreements and then get you to shortcut your, even although we know you don't want to shortcut it, but there are all consequences by that kind of approval. And lastly, I actually don't think legally you've got the authority really to approve those agreements. So I do think that what we must do is we must be a bit more careful with that, particularly if we know the history of this. But that is just an observation. That's not really something you have to comment on. But the program, I would really suggest, Chair, if we agree with that, that they need to do it for each of those areas of interconnection where they have legal authority and they have not done something yet. Each of those must be identified and give us a full program, as you and Mr. Kowani had also suggested, just to round it off. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. There is, okay, he will respond. Let me just add on, there is a Section 39 for the filing of interconnection agreements. And it goes through to say that we have regulations relating just to filing, like they have filed before. We look at them, and if we believe that they do not comply with those regulations, then we send them back and say correct 1, 2, 3, 4. So automatically what it means is that if they filed accordingly in terms of this, we either reject or accept. That's what we've done all along on previous interconnection filing without the precondition. Maybe your suggestion will have to be looked at in terms of the regulations, because we approve them in terms of the name of the game, which are regulation. You fulfill the regulation on filing of interconnection, therefore, but if you have not fulfilled any section or element of the regulation interconnection filing, we send them back and say, no, there is an element here that we have not, and we have sent some of them back in certain instances to say, we cannot agree to this because it's not in agreement with the regulation. So when we looked at the filing, we looked at our regulations and said, well, it is consistent with our regulation. Maybe we can use another term of saying noting. I also would want to give effect to your suggestion, Honorable Dilani, on us submitting our activities
in terms of what we will be doing, when, by what time. This will come up in terms of our strategic plan for the new financial year that we will be bringing before the portfolio committee, and then we'll probably have appendix where we can go into the details of this particular project, and we will try to prioritize to make sure that we deal with, you know, whatever we can afford, especially when we hear that the budget is going to be reduced. So we will be able to say which are the 20% of the project that make 80% of the difference, and then concentrate on those projects.
But I thought I heard Mr. DeLange saying what the committee requires is a document which sets out the steps and how you're going to manage it. Now, I'll tell you why. You must tell us up front, because we're talking of strategies and tactics, and I don't know if this is part of the ambush that you have to set up for the operators. But I mean, I'm assuming these are administrative processes which should be open and transparent so that all understand exactly what you're going to be doing. There's nothing secretive about this thing, unless I'm wrong. So if you can set that out first. And I think I also hear what Mr. DeLange and the committee has said this even previously. June is an indicative time frame. Last year we said that if you go on to September or something, it's not the end of the world. Nothing is cast in stone, provided that we comply on every process. Now, don't think that June is, you know, it's a make or, you know, a break date. There is flexibility because you have to comply with these processes. If you don't, you're going to open yourself to a legal challenge, and then we're all stuck. So, if you can give us the schedule, if you can do it nice, fine. Otherwise, in a few days' time, you could just send it to us. But I think we want to understand what the processes are.
But I indicated that in our annual plan, we'll give an appendix of and give a detail of each and every project that we're going to, and we're going to cut it down to what we will be doing that.
No, we are asking for this particular issue.
Okay.
All right. 67 process, section 67 processes. If you can just spell that out for us, step by step.
Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Right. The rest of the stuff you can do the way they suggest in the strategy with appendix.
Thank you, Chair. I mentioned that we have prepared a guideline. We will try to make it available as soon as possible because it really tries to capture the process itself in relation to this particular project. So we'll have a look at it, brush it up, and then forward it as soon as possible.
Thanks, thanks, Chairperson. Chair, I think I don't feel comfortable about the proposal that has just been said. But I understand that ICASA is a regulator. You know, the transparency that we want them to be transparent on this current issue here. I think, Chair, as I'm listening to them, they've just said that they are preparing themselves and they have tactics and strategy, you know, whatever, and Madi, they've said it. They're preparing themselves. So I feel uncomfortable, you know, as a committee, just to mention what are they, you know, in this meeting, because you have operators, you know, they can say their strategies and tactics here, and operators, they will go back and plan, you know, against that to defend themselves. So I would really, with due respect, Chair, I think let's withdraw them. Let's withdraw that. I don't feel really comfortable.
Kulwani?
No, Chair. I think maybe it's because ICASA has done very well on this fighting issue. For the first time, I see the committee being overconfident for ICASA. I'm sure it's job well done. But, Chair, I'm sure the issue which you are saying is that firstly, on the process issue, I think the issue is that, which maybe Comrade Nzigi and Comrade Johnny has raised, is around the issue of transparency. But I think the issues around that, I'm sure there will be nothing wrong if they confer with you from time to time their processes. But I think it's a matter of whether they must come here in this public platform and disclose their strategy and tactics and so on. But I think you can try to work it out in terms of conferring with you as a chair in terms of the processes and so on, rather than coming into this committee and start to put in public their processes, strategy, and so on. I would think that if we handle that in that way, it would be fine.
Lilanda?
I think we'll discuss in the study group. I think leave it there, as Mr. Kowani has said. I just see people mustn't misunderstand. It's ICASA that mentions strategy and tactics. We haven't mentioned strategy and tactics. We have mentioned we want the program as the law prescribes, and then each step as it prescribes, not the strategy and tactics. I'm not interested in the strategy and tactics is something that they brought in to say they're bringing that document to us. And if they're doing that, that's fine. I have no problem. They clearly have to do it in terms of the PFMA and so on. And the strategy and tactics they're talking about, the legal strategy and tactics of how to do how to outwit the cell providers. It is exactly what needs to be done, and it has to be open. It can't be closed. It can't be secretive. It is a legal process that has to be complied with. And the best legal remedy to avoid challenges by these rich cell companies is to have it open, to explain how the process is going to take. No court will rule against it. So I think let's leave it like it is on Mr. Kowani's suggestion. I think we just mustn't talk past each other. Because this is not about strategy and tactics, I'm definitely not talking about. And let's leave it as it is and let them process things through you and we can take it further. Yeah.
Felma and then Nikki.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to urge this committee, I hate if I call you Chair, because you don't look like Chair, Mr. Chairperson. Chairperson, in the beginning of the of this voorlegging presentation, I think Mr. Magagi mentioned something, or Mr. Mashile, there's scientific figures that you refer to the interconnection rate, because you know exactly when the cell phone companies will make money. Is it between 40 and 50 cents? Is it between 50 and 60 cents? We are now at 89 cents. So I think in that first meeting we have, you were suggesting, Mr. Chairperson, 60 cents. Was that the figure? The committee we are working. And I want to, because we are so honest with each other today, I'm feeling so glad. I know if I look in your eyes, Mr. Mashila, I can trust you, and you won't lie to me. You're a decent person, and, you know, all those beautiful things. Can you give us a clear answer? Will it be possible? Can we give the people of South Africa hope? Will it be 60 cents? Please say yes. Or maybe less than 60 cents.
You know, you can't be private. You can't do that today. He's got to wait for this one phone.
Yes, but it's worth trying.
But if he does that today, the whole process is stopped.
That's fine.
About the operators. Is doing the same.
All right. If there are no further questions on this particular issue, can we have a 5-minute stretch break and then we come back on the last item, which is, there is another item, am I right? Yes, an update on the relationship between the executive management and the council. So we'll convene at 10 past 12.
The media must get out. What is that? There's nothing confidential.
To share that with to share that with father and something there.
Thank you very much. We can take the next item on the agenda, Mr. Mashiri.
Mr. Chairman, my right to the chairperson, the chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask for your indulgence, if it's not asking for too much, that this matter relating to relationship building is really a matter between ourselves and your good selves. We're wondering if the other stakeholders could be recused from this list, because it has nothing to do with regulation in which they would have an interest in. It's just a matter of, you know, we don't want to hang our dirty linen in the public, and we want to make sure that nobody takes advantage of whatever could be seen as differences and exploit that. But rather, for your good selves, since you are accountable to you, maybe if it's not asking for too much, to ask for your consideration and indulgence that they be recused.
Ms., there's a request. Ms. Mazibuko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mashiri, you're very right. You're accountable to us, but we are public representatives, and we're here on behalf of the public. So, Mr. Chair, I don't think it would be appropriate for us to cut any member of the public out of this meeting, especially since it's already begun. But what we're doing here is acting as proxies to the public, and they should be as welcome as we are to hear what the ICASA has to say. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I think I would like to support the Chairperson of ICASA. I would like to support the statement or the proposal that he has made, that the issue is between ICASA, councillors, and the portfolio committee. And I support the statement that says, the request that says, let the operators who are here to be excused so that we can engage with the report. As much as I understand, we are here as public representatives, but at the very same time, Chair, I think it will be too early for us and the ICASA, you know, to say things that will go out into the public negatively. So I'll request that, can we have our own session?
Other views on the matter? Ms. Killian.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to suggest that we deal with every matter that we have on the agenda, except for the internal considerations that we have before us today. Those, I believe, are internal managerial matters, and it is not necessary to indicate to the entire public and also to expose some weaknesses within the organization to some of the detractors that might have useful information about lines of difference, etc. So I do support that. Can I just indicate that I believe that is a matter that we can hear as a committee behind closed doors. so that we've identified some weaknesses and we need a report back on that. And we have done so in a private meeting with ICASA and the executive management, and I believe it's just appropriate that we also have the report back in the same circumstances. It is not as though this has happened in the public eye before. This was discussed by our committee behind closed doors before, so I think it's appropriate that we have the report back on that. And all the other matters, obviously, we first deal with them on the agenda and then we proceed to this closed session. Thank you.
Nadia?
Chairperson, I'm just going to make my input for just purposes of strengthening our position that, yes, we are public reps and the matters that we are discussing are public matters. However, there is a distinction in how you describe public matters and more especially which are for consumption to the public. So we should not confuse public and public matters as matters that would go raw as they are to the public, even though you have not refined yourself.
Chairperson, my view is that yes, we have dealt with the details of the actual problems at ICASA. When we did an oversight visit, we spoke to the unions, we spoke to management, we spoke to some of the councillors. And again, we raised the issue when the annual report was presented to us. When I read through this yesterday, it seems to me what ICASA has done is to take some corrective measures. So this document really speaks only about processes and procedures and the organizational culture and the action plan. I think if in reporting to us, if ICASA can remain within the framework of processes and procedures and systems without referring to any particular council that has got a problem or somebody in the management has got a problem, then it should be open. We're not going to go back. We've said what we said to you behind closed doors before. And my reading of this is that you have taken note of it and you've now acted on it. So I don't quite understand the request by the chairperson, Mr. Mashili, for closed. We're not going to open up these things again. We want to move on. We've taken the horse to the water, and now the horse has started drinking the water, so we can just move on.
I'm in a bit of a difficult position. This document has already been released to the public. So these are, I think, corrective measures. So I'm in a bit of a dilemma. If I close the meeting, the document is in the public domain. Can I just check with the ANC and other parties, would there be any harm if we confine ourselves to what is in the document and the report based on this? Would there be any harm in that? Can we proceed in an open meeting? Mr. Van der Veer?
Thank you, Chairperson. My colleague, Ms. Masabuke, I said it all. I just want to refer back to 18th of June of last year when the Independent Communications Authority made a presentation, and one of their value drivers, the second point, they pointed out functional effectiveness. And if I read that correctly, this is what we are going to do now. What measures ICASA took to make this organization functional, effective. And ICASA is there for the people of South Africa to make their lives easier. And I think the people of South Africa also want to know, because in the past there was many delays and everything. But now we see and we hope it's a new ICASA. And what What happened to ICASA to be more functional and pinpointed? And I think this is the correct time to say, why are they indeed functional, effective? And I think it's in an openbare belang that they tell the people of South Africa what is going on. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, my problem is that you might agree, going through the document as it is, but there are no guarantees that whilst interrogating the report itself, we won't go to the same time of the issue. There are no guarantees. So I'm not sure that...
No, it's the cell phone of the shadow minister of the DA. Shadow minister.
So what I was saying, Chairperson, is that some of us, maybe as committee members, no, it's not mine, we might be going deep than we expected that is. I mean, that is just my fear, that there are no guarantees that we won't be able to go deeper into the root of some of the issues. Maybe some of the issues captured here, on their own, you will need further explanation, clarity, whatever. Obviously, you go deeper into the issues that you don't want to go to the media now. So I'm in the view that you don't have to do it in front of everybody here.
Mr. Kolwani?
You see, there are two things. Is the issue of going into details of the document, which will agree with the chairperson of ICASA. But you see, if we proceed based on this shallow information which is here, you can do that. But believe me, Chair, will interject if people go into detail. If ICASA is going to present what is here, shallow as it is, not going to details, it's fine, they can do that. We don't have a problem. But then we must not ask questions which is probing. We should want them to start to go into detail. If we want to continue in this path, then it's fine, Chair. If you don't stop them, Chair, we will interject as an ANC because we don't want exactly these issues to be discussed into details in the public. But because the document is public and so on, it's fine. Let us proceed, but let us do not probe into details. But the other issue, Chair, is that maybe the chairperson of ICASA, because I didn't see the application for a closed meeting. There is a process which you follow if you want a closed meeting. You don't announce it in a meeting. You must follow a process that you would want a closed meeting so that things are processed, because structures are processing things and so on. So maybe in future if that can happen. But, Chair, we can deal with that if it's shallow as it's here. So whoever is presenting, don't give us detailed information. Give us the shallow information as is and see whether it's workable. But our feeling is that it was not going to be workable to have shallow information because we want some details. It's not workable, Chair. But we can proceed, Chair, if...
I want to rule in the matter.
I just want to make a comment, Mr. Kolwane. You know, it's very difficult. What's the definition of shallow?
ICASA understand. I'm directing it to ICASA.
Mr. Langer?
Chair, I think... Mr. Kowani has pointed out there is a procedure to this. It would have made it much easier because now we have to start debating and discussing here without knowing what it is exactly we're going to hear. And even that application we can hear behind closed doors to make sure that information like that does not leak out. But I think, you know, I just want to make it very clear from our point of view. an answer which says that something can't be closed because we are accountable to the public is just not acceptable to me. The rules of Parliament are very clear. There is the possibility that a committee can have a meeting closed and have it behind closed doors. And in this Parliament, has happened on a few occasions. It doesn't happen very often. So I do not think that one must create a precedent where one then says that the actual thing is that everything has to be open. We're not prepared to accept that some things must be closed. As I said, if the process was followed, then members would have had easier to make up their minds, because they would know exactly what it is we're dealing with. So it seems that under the circumstances, the only way to deal with this matter, because we don't know exactly what could come out and how it could harmful, because in this instance, we must remember, it's not just a department we're dealing with. This is a regulator of certain very important issues which affect others, for example, cell phone operators and so on. And clearly, the weaknesses, the divisions and the problems in the organization have great impact on their efficacy going forward. So we should not be asking, unless we want to close the meeting, should not be asking any questions that will impact on those things. If we want to know, and that's what Mr. Kowalian is suggesting, that we'll find out, well, what have you done to rectify this efficiency and so on. If they want to tell us what procedures they've put in place or they've employed more people, that's fine. And we leave it at that. If we want to have a thorough discussion with the ICASA in terms of what bedevils some of their work or has bedeviled some of their work, then we as a committee have to very seriously think of having that meeting behind closed doors if we seriously want to go into those matters. But I want to suggest there's no use fighting about it today because the procedures haven't been followed properly. So let's take the suggestion that we deal with the matter on the basis that they'll just tell us what solutions they've come up with and that no questions will be taken if it were to expose weaknesses or problems within the ICASA that could be utilized or be of value to people that it shouldn't be of value to. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Can I say that we will have the presentation in an open meeting? If questions are put, if you are able to answer the questions openly, that's fine. If there are particular questions that you have difficulties with, I think you should tell us that, and then we can consider setting up a separate meeting, a closed meeting, to discuss those specifically. But let the process start. Let the meeting proceed then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and honorable members. I think what I'd like to indicate is that it is true that there were serious challenges within the organization in terms of just relationship. And it's good that an opportunity arose where we had to have some kind of introspection, examine ourselves as to what is it that we're not doing right, how are we relating to each other, because we certainly are a very, very important hub in the sector around which the wheel has got to spin. And in that particular regard, we cannot just, work aimlessly with disparate ambitions and ideas and agendas, etc. And I think what really came to the fore is that, first and foremost, there is a need for us to understand what leadership is all about. I'm just giving an introduction to the background, what leadership is all about. And there could be a lot of arguments about what a true leader should be. There are bad leaders, good leaders, etc. And what kind of leaders do we want to be? We recognize that our role as council is to formulate strategy in terms of vision, mission, and strategic objectives, and then interface with our executive management to look into how can this be realized. They then have got to come back and say, this is not feasible, rather than for us to drum it down that this shall be done. This is what we say because we are the bosses. The concept of modern working environment is no longer the kind of there are thinkers and doers. It's a question of we are all professional and that we must acknowledge. But first and foremost, we have got to share knowledge and understanding amongst each other, which is a very, very key thing that will probably make us have a shared vision. Now, at the end of the day, what is most important about us in leadership is to recognize, some people talk about Maslow's laws, you know, that these people that we are leading, their emotional and economic dependence is really a key issue, because work and labor is central to their lives. They leave their homes, etc., their spouses, and come to work, their children, etc., and they deserve that kind of respect, or being seen as adults and respected accordingly. The fact that I'm chairperson of ICASA does not mean I have all the knowledge. I can only succeed if I've got the support of everybody and ask for support and guidance. So I'm not the repository of knowledge, and that should be acknowledged by all of us who are in a position of leadership. That we acknowledge and say, somewhere along the line, we're not getting it right. There's this four-letter word, boss, kind of situation that has got to be taken out of, exercised out of the system. The fact that we are acknowledging that something may have gone wrong in terms of our relationship, we then decided that we should have a three-day session where we should open up and be honest and truthful about it and speak without fear or favor, to see to it that we can actually disembowel, you know, this whole system and find out where the challenges are, where the difficulties are. And indeed, that could only have been done through someone who is objective, because I could not have stood there as chairperson and say, okay, speak. It would not have been helpful, because then there will be that relationship that say, you know, you are wrong, you are right. So we wanted to get someone who came on board to have a session with us over 3 days in terms of relationship. And we decided that this relationship should be approached from the point of view of objectives. What is it that we are here for? We are here to serve a purpose, to fulfill a mandate. And we do have objectives. So our relationship must be have an underlying current of what are our objectives in this particular. And then the question is, if you are an organization is a group of people who are doing different tasks in order to achieve a common objective. So we must acknowledge that fact that someone like Sipo here is a lawyer. He's got the underlying principle relating to legal issues. And if I need support in terms of legal aspects, I can go to him and say, these are the underlying principle in what you like. Peter Grotes is also an expert in competition. Peter, come and help us here, because you took 4 years studying at university, and we cannot have that time and that luxury of going back to university to study. Therefore, we are sharing this task, and that's the acknowledge to listen to them and understand that these people. And that in itself maybe was lacking in certain respect because of the old relationship of, you know, I'm in charge and you listen to orders and, you know, shut up, etc. and all that. But to that extent, we opened up in this three-day session. This process was facilitated by Mr. Kumalo from a company called Tokiso. And we started looking at things relating to how are we communicating with each other? Are we having a shared vision, much as we can pronounce it and state it? But in practice, are we really practicing? Do we see things the same way? And is our approach a systems approach? For instance, if, as an example, I would give, you have a car, suddenly this car is perfect, it's got good seats, etc., but the brakes are faulty. It's no more a car. So if the chairperson of the organization, who is central in this, happens to be not providing the proper leadership, the whole system collapses. You know, if you take the Toyota incident, that they went into mass production and they forgot a quality issue about brakes of a car. Look at how much it has cost them. Because they did not take into detail whatever the system has got to fulfill. So we realized our complementary role in what we have to do individually, etc. We have then said in our aspect that we should speak to each other with respect, look at each other as professionals, and make sure that we don't use terminology or words or phrases that could create some hurt in some individual, you know, words like nonsense, rubbish, and all kinds of things, are not words that normally operate in an organizational, in an organization. So at the end of the day, I think we, as executive management is here, came together,
it was almost like going to a religious experience, you know, like going to Mecca or, you know, going where we have to open up and own up and say, yes, we've done things wrong, etc., and we need to do it. So it was a kind of a religious sort of reinvention on our part. What we emphasized in terms of all the things that I have indicated here is that the systems must be put in place so that we live according to the rules of the game. What then it means at the end of the day is that if your role is this, you've got to take processes in this and bring them forth to council. Or if council has got to interfere, council does not have to go down to the lowest person and start interfering with operational things, but leave those people to do what they're good at, and then let the recommendation come to ICASA. And I think so far, this is the system that has been in place. But like any other family, there will always be differences. And I don't want to say, you know, we are crazy angels who are perfect in any kind of respect. From time to time, there will be differences. But as long as those differences are managed, because differences will be, the question is, how do you manage those differences? And do you manage them in a professional manner, giving respect to all the individuals that you interact with, and forget the authority based on power? Rather, authority should be based on knowledge. I speak out of knowledge, and when I tell you this, I can make reference to the experience of previous years as to what has happened. And I think in that particular respect, the question of formulating strategy, coming with a vision, mission, objectives, etc., is, are we buying into it? Are we setting ourselves for failure by not actually having got a buy-in from other people who are below us? And I think in that particular regard, we have actually started with strategic formulation, and we will cascade that to staff to say, this is what we see ICASA should be doing. They will look at operationally, what is it that they can do, and they will come back and say, well, let's match. This is your proposal, but this is what we think is feasible or not feasible in terms of resources, financial, human resources, capital, and all that. Said, no, let's cut off these things, etc., and all that. And the processes that are necessary in that particular regard have got to be cemented, have got to be followed, and if there is deviation, that thing should be dealt with through procedural means. That you've fallen foul of this thing, and this is not the right way, someone must give you counsel and say, no, this is not how things are done. And a lot of things that are relating to this is with policies. As long as you've got policies in place that have got to be complied with, then there's no arguing, because then you refer to the document and say, you know what, the policy dictates that this is how you should behave, etc. The question of capacity, I mean, it's an issue where we certainly, as you know, there's a revolving door in the ICT sector where we train our folks and then suddenly they leave and then we are bereft with proper capacity in that. But we continue training, there's no doubt about that. On a yearly basis, about 3% of our budget goes towards training, because we recognize the sector in which we are regulating that it is. And this goes to counselors as well as staff in terms of our training. And there has been a requirement that each and every individual at ICASA should have at least 40 hours of training. And that is a measurable output in terms of performance management, because we believe that it is through training that people can be effective and the vision can be realized. Because otherwise, then you're going to be hammering on people who say, you've been given this task to do, you have not done. And then he said, well, I don't have the capacity, etc. And then it's an indictment of, why did we hire you? And we know fully well that when you are trained from university, you are not trained in terms of ICASA. You're just trained as an engineer, as whatever, an economist, a lawyer, etc. But the dynamics of ICASA have got now to be customized in terms of the knowledge that you have. You say, okay, this is a fit in this part. Like in any other organization where you go, things are not as the way you are taught at school. Somebody told me that education is that which you remains after you have forgotten everything. And I truly agree with that, because by and large over the years, we will certainly do that. I am with the acting CEO here, and I would like him to bear testimony in terms of what we've put out as a foundation going forward. I think the important aspect of it is that, are we going to live up to our pledges? We'll have to monitor ourselves from time to time whether what we pledged in some form of a prayer, we are actually practicing. So we want to say what we mean, and we mean what we say. But in order to create sort of corroboration in this respect, it behooves of me to actually asked for the indulgence of the acting CEO to also give testimony in terms of what he thinks the process meant and whether we are actually converging and coming up with a kind of an organization which is a learning organization where we have a shared vision and then we have a systems approach and we align ourselves and we speak without fear or favor, etc. And we make sure that any decision that we make is reasoned out and it can be defended. So I'd like maybe Sipho to elaborate and act on some of the things that he thinks will help us going forward. It's just the beginning, it's a process.
Thank you, Chair. Good day to everybody else. I think on behalf of executive management, first we would want to indicate that the document that is being presented to the portfolio committee has the blessing of the executive management, and I think we actually came together with council to say how best can we make sure that ICASA becomes a more effective and efficient organization. It was not necessarily a process where we're going to some other council members used to call it a hugging session, where we needed to sit down around the table, hug and kiss and have a drink and say, look, everything is over and done with. It was a very, very laborious exercise where we had to sit down, break into some sessions as executive management and council, looked very, very deeply into the challenges that are facing the organization. What we actually did after the three-day session is that we developed an action plan, which I think will be spoken to, or we can be able to provide committee members with a detailed document which sets out exactly what needs to be done, by who and by when. That document will definitely, I think, I don't think I'm out of order to say it can be shared with members of the committee to actually indicate who is going to be held responsible. We clearly outline the time frames to say by this particular period of time, if the CEO or the chairperson or councillors or committee of council or executive management have been given the task of doing something and presenting a document to both structures, that has to happen on that particular day. For example, there are two areas that I wish to clearly indicate. That one, we have already agreed on five work processes that we believe that are of critical importance in terms of ensuring that ICASA works as effective and efficient as possible. This relates to issues like the project management processes. We are able to clearly define roles and responsibilities to say if there's a regulatory process, who is supposed to be doing what and when, so that we are not able to step on each other's toes like it has actually happened in the past. We are able to come up with the procurement processes to say in order for us to implement or achieve the mandate of ICASA, there are certain procurement processes that the organization has to go through. How are we supposed to undertake that particular process? We need to look at issues of planning and budgeting. You know, when we come to Parliament to present our business plan, we must have actually taken certain steps towards that particular process. We're talking about the strategic planning. Obviously, we expect Council, as the leadership of the organization, to provide executive management with a strategic objective or framework, which we will take as executive management and operationalize it into some sort of business plan. So we need to be able to understand exactly when do we expect Council to be able to do that, when do we expect the executive management to come up with those operational plans. One of the issues that was raised quite vehemently in the past by the committee and even other interested stakeholders was the issue of performance management, to say how are we dealing with issues of performance management. We've made it very clear that ICASA should be a performance-driven organization, and we have set in motion a process which will seek to ensure that every financial year, when you start each and every financial year on the 1st of April, each and every staff member within the organization must have signed a performance agreement with the line manager. That does not actually exclude councillors, because of on their side as well, they need to have that performance agreements with whether it's the minister or the DG or anybody else who's responsible in this regard. They'll be able to enter into that kind of an agreement. And I think what we have actually agreed on our side is that if it was a merely hugging, kissing and drinking session, it would have been a one-day session where we'll sit down around the table and sort out issues and get over and done with it. We realize that this is going to be, it's not going to be an event in itself. It's going to be a process which is going to take hard work. It's going to take dedication from all interested parties. And we are very, very hopeful.
as executive management and council.
Can you answer that question in a closed session, please?
Yes. we are very hopeful and that we'll be able to achieve the time frames or the action plan at the time frames that we have set in the document that will be shared with the committee members. Thanks, Chair.
This was really a religious kind of experience. It's how an organization should behave. And as I pointed out, an organization is a group of people doing complementary tasks to achieve a common objective. Now, that underlying feature means that people should have a shared vision. And there should be some kind of alignment. And we've emphasized that people should speak without fear or favor. And that whatever comes forth should be reasoned out so that there's no argument if I can reason out my man and you say, well, you know, I don't agree with you. Why don't you agree with me? These are my reasons. And, you know, that kind of professionalism, I think, is the most important thing. And communication is the most important thing. And respect and trust are some of the things that we emphasize as underlying foundation without which no house will stand. It's almost like if you have a shaky foundation and you start building walls, roof, etc. What's going to happen? You're going to be exposed. Somewhere when the rainfall comes, you're going to find that house wobbling and people say, well, we thought this was something else. What is the foundation? So we really are saying we are laying the foundation for what normally is called in modern management a learning organization, which has got as its element a shared vision for people to speak without fear or favor, alignment, and also to have a systems approach. They say our success is really dependent on the weakest link. If we cannot get the weakest link right, we are not successful. So there's no point him saying, I've done my job, I don't care, because every process has got inputs and outputs. And if the value chain, there is a weak link, that chain will not even sustain itself. So it's not about people wanting to score good marks to get a performance. It's how the organization operates. And we should look at the weak links and correct those links through corrective action, not punitive action, but to find out precisely how we can help wherever there are weaknesses in order to provide the necessary training. So by and large, I am very confident, even though I may not be around, but I'm sure the foundation that has been laid will simply mean that we must, as I pointed out, say what we mean and mean what we say, and our day-to-day interaction should put to truth what we have pledged ourselves to. So we can always remind ourselves, you remember we agreed that, look, you're still having the same kind of behavior, and we just agreed on this thing. Were you truthful about when you said we should all agree on this thing? So those kinds of things will be cross-checks amongst ourselves right now. If there's any process, it can be escalated to wherever it is necessary that I'm not being fairly dealt with. Someone has really demeaned me, or I'm not trusted. There are different kind of challenges that are there. We will deal with them accordingly. As I say, in any environment, there are always challenges, and families normally have to quarrel because that's human nature. But the question is, how do they manage the differences? They should manage the differences in a very, very civilized manner and make sure that we give respect to each other. Someone said, I can disagree with you, but I'll give you your right to disagree with me. And that is what this actually is underlying. Not because of anything, but I think in terms of the democracy that we're having, hey, we must leave it. We should not just have it as a constitution put in there and start disrespecting people and all that. So by and large, I think we've heard, we've listened, and thanks for really having resuscitated this for us to come on board and really have an introspection amongst ourselves and be truthful about ourselves and go through a process that I normally call self-flagellation.
All right. Are there any questions?
We flagged ourselves seriously and have...
Any questions? Right. I think, look, this is a constructive step that has been taken. It's quite clear that the gap is narrowing down between the council and the executive management. Of course, there will be problems on an ongoing basis, but I think at least an effort is being made to try and resolve those internally and we welcome that particular initiative. I don't think we want to go into the details. You will be coming back shortly to report on your strategic plans and your budget, and then we'll see whether we've got a common vision or not. Emmas, is there anything you want to say, Nikki?
Chairperson, will you allow me if I just go a step back to the interconnection rate? That's just one thing I just want to say, if you will allow me.
I'm tempted not to allow you because I see Patricia is about to collapse. She's hungry.
Now, may I proceed?
Oh, actually, may proceed.
Now, just for clarity, you know, there was a lot of insecurity and nobody was sure. When I read this this paper, the agreement that the cell phone companies want to force onto ICASA, it came as a shock for me, and I think also for you, sir. And therefore, I just want to say that in future, when the Minister of Communications make a statement, as that day in Parliament, when he it's the first time I heard of it, I thought this was a proper discussed issue between ICASA, the minister, and the cell phone companies. But it was too vague. And now all this, the problems came forward. And I think, if I might say from my side, the minister was wrong to announce that in Parliament without having all the facts. And I found it a bit difficult this morning, and now I'm not pointing fingers. The ANC members, you know, try to defend the minister today because I think there was wrongdoing, and we are working very well towards a goal in this portfolio committee, and I don't think it's.
Let me just say,
sir, if you allow Anat, Anat would prevail. If you allow anarchy, anarchy would prevail.
Yeah.
So, sir, can you chair the meeting and conclude this meeting before anarchy prevails?
You see, my instincts were right. I should have not allowed you. But I was being a bit generous. No, look, I think there will be an occasion. The minister will appear before the committee. You can make these are political comments, and you will get an opportunity to state that in the presence of the minister so that he can defend himself also. So let's leave it at that. I don't want to allow other parties and members to respond. I think we will hold that for a later discussion. From our side, ICASA and the team, thank you very much. Toyota is not happy with the comments now. you see, now I'm going to have to call in the CEO of Toyota to come and say something here. No, especially thank you very much for the team. I think this has been a very constructive discussion. I can see light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm hoping that we're going to move forward on this issue. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we're not serving lunch today. We'll see you, I think, in a few weeks' time when you come back with your budget. Okay? Meeting is adjourned.
With the connection, so,